welcome to the Addiction Connection podcast, connecting the hope of the gospel to the heart of addiction. I'm Mark Shaw, and joined here with Jim Quigley, one of my dear friends. Yes, I'm almost speechless when I mention your name.
I have that effect almost on me. So,
hey, today we're going to talk about an interesting trend. It's been in the news lately. I think it's only going to grow in its prevalence, unfortunately, maybe not in such a violent way, as we'll read in a second. But the proverb I wanted to start with, Proverbs 14:22, says, "Do they not go astray who devise evil? Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness." So that's encouraging, and we want this to be an encouraging podcast, but the nature of drug addiction and all the tragic stories is such that it can be kind of depressing. And Jim, how do you deal with some of your hard situations that you hear about? I had one last week that really bothered me for a couple of days as I was thinking about just how sad that situation was. I wondered if you, things you do to cope or deal with that. I didn't prepare you for that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a great question because, I've said this in the past doing podcasts with you. People that do this type of work are often told by others. Like, I get told all the time, I don't know how you do the work you do, and you not go crazy. And so people look at it as more of an extreme type of ministry, as far as extreme conflict, extreme behaviors, and having to put up with it. But, I also always say that in my opinion, most people that are called to this type of work, none of us feel like we're martyrs of any kind. This is truly what we feel called to. Many of us, including myself, have experienced that freedom from that craziness, whereas people looked at our past lives and we fit in those categories of someone that would never get it, never change, and change happened. And we were so excited about that. We want other people to experience it. So when I do have a hard situation, I often say that the first thing, I come from a Reformed background, and that comes with a lot of, it's kind of a minority position, but in our world. But I think in the biblical counseling world, it's more widely known. Most people are pretty in tune, not saying 100% agreed with Reformed positions, but essentially in the Reformed position, I feel presents that we have a belief that God is in control of everything, and even in him allowing some of the difficult things that happen in life, and we know that personally, individually, if you belong to him, everything that's happening to us is for our good. And I believe that, if this person that is going through whatever they're going through does belong to God, or if this is part of their journey to belonging to God, I believe that God has purpose in it. And it doesn't make it less sad. It doesn't make it less heartbreaking, and doesn't take away urgency to try to help, but it helps me understand it, and it helps me not go to some pretty dark places about it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me that I was thinking about it and just dwelling on it, but what I have to realize at the end of the day is it doesn't belong on these two shoulders, that situation belongs on Jesus's shoulders, so to speak. It belongs to him. It's his quote unquote problem, not mine to carry, not my burden to carry. And Jesus doesn't have any problems. So I'm to carry those things to him. And when I do that, it's so much better. But I think you're right. Like, it doesn't make it any less sad, and I can be sad about it. And I think that's a good thing that I experience that, because I don't want to be hardened to all this stuff.
Right.
And so that's a good segue, I think, into this very sad, very difficult story to read about. And I'm on the just a USA Today article that my precious wife, Mary, who is feverishly packing as we speak. Oh. I'm taking a break from packing, Jim, to do this with you.
Hey.
And I'm not complaining about it at all.
So you're using me as an excuse.
Yeah. I gotta do a podcast with Jim right away. Instead of carrying heavy boxes. I did carry a few heavy things today, but this article she sent me, USA Today, it says the title of the article is "She stabbed a man 108 times and got probation, no prison time. What to know about cannabis-induced psychosis?" And it came out on January 31st. She sent it to me a while back. We are now in February as we're talking about this. So Bryn, I guess you say Spiker, S-P-E-J-C-H-E-R. As the story goes, she was, she's 33, and she stabbed her boyfriend 108 times. She went into a coughing fit and began to hallucinate after she smoked marijuana. Marijuana was the only thing in her system. So it's marijuana usage here, and she took a hit from his bong in... This happened in 2018, and he was 26. Then she began to hear, she thought she was dead. So she thought, I'm dead. And she began to hear voices of paramedics trying to save her. Then the voices she said she heard told her to kill this guy, Chad. And she had to kill him in order to bring herself back to life. So thinking she's dead, which is not true, she thinks, I have to kill him. The voices are telling me, this is the way you stay alive. And she stabbed him 108 times. I mean, just reading that, it's just so grotesquely tragic and heartbreaking. She was young, I guess, when this happened, just... 5 years ago. I guess she was 28 and he was 21, maybe. I guess he was 26. I don't know. She's 33 now. So I just kind of, you know, reading, you and I hear stories like this a lot. I mean, I know I do, and I know you have to. What are some of your initial thoughts about this particular story, this article?
Well, my first one has to do with how most people treat marijuana in the first place. I'm nearing 50 years old, and it is extremely common. It doesn't matter if you come from, you're talking about Christians' opinions or regular people's opinions, secular opinions. Marijuana is known as the
right
as not a very harmful thing, right? It's just weed,
right?
And there's even people a lot in the CBD craze has gotten all kinds of people interested in marijuana, not necessarily THC, but what's not being broadly advertised, which is article points out, is that marijuana is not, it's dramatically changed over the last couple decades. In that article, it reports that your average marijuana, you know, back in the day had about 4% THC in it, and now it's like 15% THC. I can tell you lots of anecdotal stories about people that I knew personally that smoked marijuana for a long time and have told me that whatever they got out there nowadays, I can't even touch that stuff because it is absolutely it was not your the weed of the 60s or the hippie movement or anything like right. that. This stuff that's out there now.
I really think you're on to something there that people need to think about. The marijuana of today is almost like a different drug from what a lot of people would say. I smoked pot in the 60s and 70s. And this is a powerful, powerful drug, very, very much so. So keep going. Yeah. I just want to emphasize that.
You're seeing the typical nature of addiction in just marijuana, in the fact that addiction, nobody, at least I've never met somebody that tried drugs, and were dead set on ruining their life. Drugs, people start on drugs, and they think they're going to be fine, right? No one I've ever met that started using drugs thought this was going to destroy my life. And what we know is that it's this thing that gets progressively worse the longer you stay in it, right? And they find new and more evil ways to get that drug into you, to make it more powerful. And here, it's exactly what's happening with marijuana. And the thing about it is that the reason why it happens is because of the demand for it, right? So
right.
The demand for it. I mean, people that manufacture this stuff, they don't do it because, like, hey, let's see if we can make people have psychosis and go stab people to death, you know? No, they're just wanting to keep them hooked on the latest and greatest and most powerful and potent thing. And here it is, one of the drugs that I've even said that you don't get physically addicted to marijuana. I've even made that statement, you know, but now today that's not true. There are people that get physically addicted to marijuana. You get, so marijuana has just progressively grown. It is getting worse. It kind of made me chuckle. It's kind of sad, but you can even feel it in that USA article and how they're trying to describe it, because they keep saying, you know, this is an extremely rare, you know, side effect of this of psychosis,
right.
But it's happening much more now today, you know? So like this extremely rare thing is now showing up a lot more, you know? So
right.
That doesn't make any sense to me, you know, but it's them trying to downplay, like, this is a one-off, you know, that this isn't typical and there's a lot of harmless still use of. People need to wake up and understand that marijuana is a drug, and drugs all, there's many things that stuck with me through 12-step, you know, meetings and whatnot. And one of the ones that really stuck with me and I've never forgotten is, you know, what does substance abuse lead to? Jails, institutions, and death. Those are the three likely outcomes if you are progressive. And that is actually a really true statement. If you keep into that,
it is
in that lifestyle, that's what you have to look forward to.
Yep.
Jails, institutions, and death. And that is always true about all drugs. And it doesn't matter how harmless you want to make it. The drug itself, like we've talked about many times, is just a tool that the human, with their human sinful fallen nature, is using. And when you're using that to worship yourself and feed yourself and feed your flesh, then there's no limit on how bad that can get.
Yeah, you know, I had toyed with the idea of starting this whole thing with a sarcastic, Jim, I learned something new. Marijuana is a drug and it's dangerous. You know, I was gonna start with that. But that's what you're hitting on here. And this article is trying to downplay it because obviously they're pro marijuana, I would think, but they're just trying to warn people about some of the dangers of this. And you've really got to think about kids and teenagers. who have been told that, you know, marijuana is less dangerous than drinking alcohol. I mean, I heard that when I was a kid, and I'm sure that's going on now. And when I hear kids talk about it, that's how they think. This cannabis-induced psychotic disorder is actually in the DSM-5. So it's in there. And the idea is, according to Dr. Sharon Levy, she's the chief of addiction medicine division at Boston Children's Hospital. So talking about her working with kids and seeing this a lot, she says this psychosis is a collection of symptoms that make it hard to distinguish between what's real and what's fake. It's a disconnection from reality. And the reason I bring that up, as I read that, you know, we're the addiction connection. We're trying to connect people to the gospel, to Christ, to the local church. And part of that connection for me is that we need to connect in real life. So many people go through hard things and they want to disconnect from the hard thing. They want to avoid the suffering, avoid the pain, avoid the trial, and go a different route and get away from it and choose something else, whether it's like another lover and they commit adultery. I see that from time to time. Whether it's self-harm habits or gambling habits, drugs, alcohol, whatever, you name it. Video game addiction. I read an article about that recently, posted it on our TAC Facebook page. People are looking for ways to escape reality and the pain and suffering and sorrow in this life. And so marijuana has been something that's been viewed as, like you've been talking about, a lesser, you know, less dangerous way to do that. But jails, institutions, and death, that really is a consequence. And I appreciate 12-step programs that talk about that, because they're laying out the heavy consequences. And this kid, Chad, who was smoking marijuana with a girl that he liked or whatever, they're dating maybe, or I don't know, just friends, but she smokes the same marijuana, but he ends up dead, ironically. But he, I mean, he's using it too. That's the, because she can't distinguish between what's real and what's fake. And she stabs him 108 times to his death, thinking she had to do that to stay alive. I you know, you read stories like this often, and we counsel people, but it's never easy and never like happy. This is always heavy and sad to me.
Yeah.
Because these are souls. These are people made in God's image.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other side, I mean, this is like, this is an extreme case of what can happen with the psychosis that can be, that can come from the marijuana nowadays. But, you know, another thing that is now getting widely understood is that there is a huge increase now in what they deem as people having schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and these disorders that have this extreme kind of presentation. It's a symptomatic presentation, and they're linking this giant increase to this to marijuana. That's the common thread throughout all the studies, is that they're saying this is actually we think being brought on by marijuana. And I am seeing that personally in my daily work. You know, I don't subscribe to a lot of those DSM labels. I don't think they really know what those things are. They are something and symptomatic in front of us, and I believe that that people can be transformed from those types of things. And I'm seeing much more of this. People are off. Okay, there's mm-hmm. something wrong. They've damaged their brain somehow, and yes. You know, I'll be the first one to admit that. You know, when I first started at Freedom Farm, if someone called me and said, my son needs to come to Freedom Farm, he's smoking marijuana, I'd almost be like, you know, does he really need to come to Freedom Farm for marijuana? You know, I mean, is that really necessary? But, you know, as we learn, man, things change. And it is becoming just as scary and dangerous as all the other drugs that we categorize as much more dangerous and much more, I mean, you know, psychotic breaks and things like that. I wouldn't wish any of that kind of stuff on my worst enemy, my friend. I don't know. I'm sure you've met people that for a period of time in their life, they showed no signs of any of that kind of stuff. And then once it happens, it's just a very sad thing. And there's more and more evidence today saying that whatever is going on in that brain with it is actually being brought on by marijuana use today. And there needs to be an urgency from people that marijuana is not the safe alternative drug that you can just dabble in and it's like a rite of passage in life. It's almost, I mean, from the top of our, you know, top of the political spectrum in our country, you know, marijuana is even treated like that. I don't know. It wasn't too long ago where wasn't it Bill Clinton that didn't inhale? He said, I never inhaled it, right? I think Barack Obama said he did, and he proudly said it. He's like, yeah, I've tried marijuana, and yeah, I inhaled. I know that our vice president said that on the radio just a few years ago. You know, she bragged about smoking marijuana, like it was no big deal, you know? And that's still the prevalent attitude when it comes to marijuana today, and it is. People on the front lines here will tell you that attitude needs to change.
Right. Yeah, the article does a good job of talking about the risks of cannabis-induced psychosis, the increased risk of that. And it says that in 2019, The Lancet Psychiatry published a study that said people who used cannabis daily, so these are daily users, were almost four times. It was 3.2. So 3.2 times higher risk than those who'd never used the drugs at having this cannabis-induced psychosis, this break from reality, and nearly five times higher for those who used high-potency cannabis every day. So you're talking 3.2 times and five times higher risk than non-users. And so, yeah, you're right. The greater chances, and especially you think about 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds and young people who are doing this, and the damage in the brain that can cause what looks like and is labeled oftentimes schizophrenia. Sometimes there's not any physical way to come back from that. Now, I'm not saying ever, but I think that's what we need to tell young people is this can cause brain damage in such a way that you may not recover back from it. I mean, I hope they would. And the younger they are, you think the greater the chance that would be. But instead, they're kind of told, you know, by our vice president and other political leaders and leaders in our churches and other places. So it's everywhere. People are like, hey, it's no big deal to smoke pot. I mean, I had a pastor tell me one time, I mean, this is unbelievable. He said, well, Mark, they're going to smoke pot. So I just tell my son, smoke it in our house. Just smoke it to here. You know, they're going to smoke it. That's what he said. They're going to use it. They're going to do that. This is a pastor of a church. Kind of concern or care.
I've met, you know, regular church attendees that will admit, you know, they smoke pot still, you know. And they treat it like having a beer or having a glass of wine. You know, it's all the same, you know. Well, it's from the earth, Mark. It's natural. God created it, right?
The plant. Yeah. Dr. Hodges wrote a good article about it not long ago on the Biblical Counseling Coalition. So if people want to check that out, go to the BCC website and read about it. And I appreciate him talking about it, you know, because it's a dangerous thing. So
I was just I may have told you that I was blessed to be able to go see him give a what they call an equip seminar on marijuana.
Over
at RTS a few weeks ago. And you know, we didn't get into the marijuana part till the end. And that's something that also probably needs to be said, is that, you know, this popularity of marijuana is with the especially from the CBD oil type thing and medical uses of it and whatnot. You know, Dr. Hodges was making the point that, look, I'm not trying to tell you that there haven't been people that have experienced, you know, symptom relief for certain things. He's like, but it's all anecdotal, and it's all, there's no basis of it in study beyond the person is telling you that, you know, that I'm better now that I started using this product or this, you know, or using marijuana for this thing. He said, actually, in the cases, in a lot of cases where it's brought up, that there's much better ways to address some of the situations that people are saying that the use of marijuana for is beneficial. There's much more beneficial ways to relieve symptoms without using marijuana in a lot of those cases. So it's a schedule one or schedule four? Schedule one or whatever. I don't know which one's worse, one or four.
One is the worst.
It's still a schedule one drug in our country, which makes studying it and the effects on human beings almost impossible to do legally. So, there's that. So all these people that'll tell you that, it does this and it does that, they can't really tell you that with any kind of legitimate basis beyond anecdotal testimony.
Right. Yeah, that's what's unfortunate. I mean, more articles, more studies are being done, but and I think just the desire for people lately is not just to get high, but they want to have a spiritual experience, like an out of body or and so more people are turning to things like the microdosing stuff, the magic mushrooms and ketamine and
ayahuasca
and this kind of marijuana. Yeah. All that stuff to have a spiritual experience is what they're seeking now. And so it's almost like it's noble when you hear about this, but drug use, I mean, there's a lot of motives to use drugs, but I'm hearing that more and more, the spiritual stuff. I'm sure you are too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Twitter is full of people. It seems to be kind of like the elite influencers are all big proponents of this ayahuasca stuff. You know, they're all going and doing that all the time, you know. I think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you go and you hallucinate extremely for like, you know, 12 hours or something like that, you know, by drinking this root. It's like, they come back and they talk about all these things that have happened to them, like, you know, I feel much more centered and, you know, they just see all these kind of strange type, you know, again, it's all anecdotal experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, in this USA Today article, as you scroll down on the bottom, the more stories and headlines, one of them says, Bobby Jean Carter was killed by intoxication from the combined effects of fentanyl and methamphetamine. And then there's another one that's advertising, Dr. Stunned, anti-lazy drops are now legal without prescription. So, I mean, you know, if we're not a drug culture, I don't know what is. And I remember Dr. Daniel Berger talking about USA uses 70% of all prescription drugs in the world, and we're just a minuscule part of the population, but we use 70%.
5% prescription drugs. 5%. Yeah.
5% of the world's population.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's his birthday today. You know, we should probably give him a shout out over on, it's his birthday.
Why don't you sing happy birthday and I'll listen in?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Nah, Yeah, yeah, it is his birthday. Yeah,
I said happy birthday to him today.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. I really appreciate him and his work in this area too, because he's just blowing people's minds with the things that he's teaching, and it's a good thing. So, well, okay, yeah. Well, that's really all I really wanted to talk about. I mean, again, the verse I read, I want to end on a good note. Do they not go astray who devise evil? I mean, that's the warning here, and it's true. Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. And so our goal in this podcast is to talk about the good love of God, the good solution he's provided through Jesus Christ to help people who struggle with all types of sin, whether it's an addictive drunkenness, idolatry type of sin, or any kind of sin. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and we only go to the Father through him. And he's provided a way for us to have victory and in this life, but really in the life to come, you know? And so he, in this proverb, wants us to devise good, because when you think about and plan and say, how can I do good? I mean, I think about this verse. If we spend as much time devising good as much as we do devising evil, or even if it's not evil, just selfish pursuits and things we want to do, and we're planning our vacation, and it's not a sin to have a vacation, don't get mad at me, but I'm saying, like, we plan and think about all kinds of things, but if we can plan and think about doing what's good and what's right and what's true, oh wow, that would be great. That would be a great world to live in. Imagine all of us planning to do good and to bless other people, all yeah. You know, as much as we can. Can you imagine a world like that? Ah, we wouldn't be reading about stabbings and those kinds of things. And this poor gal, I mean, now she got off scot-free. That was another article angle, was, you know, 2 years probation, no prison time. I feel badly for her. I mean, you know, in one sense, but she was responsible for a murder, whether she was out of her head on drugs and in a psychotic break moment or not, she still killed a man, and this is somebody's son. And you know, and so the way that our justice system even thinks about these things is kind of telling. Do you want to talk a little bit about that for a moment before we close up?
Yeah, I mean, the more and more we try to define the problems of people's behavior and detach them from personal responsibility, and we try to blame it on something, like they had a psychotic right. episode, or they have a disease, or, you know, mental health is, you know, this all encompassing word that if you start to try to dig down to what does that mean, no one can really tell you. It's mental health, you know, and they'll talk about, you know, brain synapses and chemical imbalances and genetic dispositions and trauma and, you know, all this kind of stuff. When, look, I'm not trying to take away from, you know, what some of that stuff really means as far as describing some of the things going on in people's lives. But ultimately, it does get back to the personal responsibility of the individual. And, you know, we live in a world that wants to continue to try to develop excuses for something the Bible has always been very clear on, which is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and God is the only one that can fix it. Because of the deceitfulness of people's hearts and the lack of ability to fix it through man-made means, they need to try to make the heart less deceitful. They have to try to make the problem less of a problem, and it's just perpetuating a big lie. It's really all it is.
That's right. Well, we know the truth. We know who wins in the end, and it's why we keep doing what we're doing. We want this podcast to be something that helps people to think biblically about situations like this and about the truth, because the truth is what sets us free, and praise the Lord for that.
Yeah,
so, I mean, Jim, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like all this stuff that people are chasing with these things, like chasing for the drugs and the ayahuasca treatments and the microdosing. I mean, God has what they're looking for, right? He has it.
Right, right. I mean,
and
right.
He's saying, again, come to me. And they're going, no, we want to go find our needs somewhere else. And it's just, it's, yeah, it's very, it's, and yeah, it's yeah, you're going to get me onto into a tangent. But I will tell you that the one thing that I was really encouraged by personally by preparing for or talking about this today, but I was reading the article, and I just noticed how much my own personal stomach was twisting with like a feeling of sickness. As I recalled a time in my life where I used to love this stuff, and now I despise it. Like I hate it. I can't believe I actually ever did this stuff, you know? And that's truly, you know, God and his working in my heart and mind, and where I don't even in, you know, there's a time people struggle with, well, I used to get all kinds of pleasure. So when I think about it, it still brings back memories of times of extreme pleasure. I don't even experience that anymore. It's all,
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad I don't.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. We love what we once hated, or who we once hated, and we hate what we once loved. That's repentance to me. And so I love Jesus now. Wasn't that I would say that I hated him, you know, because we don't want to think we're that wicked or evil, but my actions sure showed that I did. And now the thing I love, alcohol and drugs, I hate. I mean, I do. I hate it. And I just see it ruin so many lives. And we read about it here. This happened in 2018. But who knows how many times this kind of thing happened, and it wasn't sensationalized in the news. But I know police officers and people that have come in contact with these kind of tragic stories often, and it's just dangerous. And so if you can tell your neighbors and friends and kids and talk differently about it, you know, just don't say, oh, yeah, it's just marijuana, no big deal. You know, at least it's not heroin. Well, my goodness, I mean, they're all bad, because it's our heart that needs to see that we need to hate it and now love Jesus. And so, yeah, that's so good that he's done that in your heart and in mine too. I appreciate you articulating that. It's good stuff. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thank you for staying connected with us. This is so great having Jim on here. Such a blessing, Jim. And thank you. And wish you well at Freedom Farm. And that's all I've got. Take care and God bless.
Thanks, brother. God bless.